The Accidental Entrepreneur is brought to you through our affiliate relationships with the following sponsors: Digital Accelerant, the digital mobile business card that generates leads. Text the word LAW to 21,000 to get connected and learn how to get your own digital business card. And by Fetch Internet and Fetch Pro, the secure, high-speed app that eliminates the need to pay for hotspots or use public unsecure Wi-Fi. And Printify, the online, on-demand print shop for all your corporate merchandise. Be sure to visit our online store and get your own podcast merch. Listen to all of our sponsors' commercials later in this episode and follow their links in the show notes to learn more about their products and services.
I always think of this one story, this guy that was incredibly successful in the tech industry and very aggressive. He called himself a shark, and he was known as a shark. Even within his own organizations, people feared him. And I remember one morning sitting in Santa Monica having coffee with him, looking at the water, and he says, "Do you think that I can be successful and have a heart too?" Because the reality was that he was a huge, huge family person, was big in his church, but there was this thing, this mentality that he had that was like, all right, he was getting in the ring when it came to work. So there's a lot of guys that are like, I have to do this in order to be successful, right? I have to, right? There's right. That mentality. This is the thing that helps me be successful. And so it's about, all right, well, wait a second. I don't need to be that person anymore. Can I be more of who I truly am? Right. And that's the thing we're all kind of struggling with. I have to play this role in order to be safe or loved or whatever, fill in the blank.
Right.
And it's like, well, could I really be who I am? Could I really bring more of my values and what I stand for in that? And would I still be successful?
The information provided in these episodes is for entertainment purposes only. It is not a guarantee of success or to be construed as advice of any kind. You should always seek advice from local licensed professionals before making any decisions.
The dictionary defines an entrepreneur as a person who organizes and manages any enterprise, especially a business, usually with considerable initiative and risk. People often start a business without much choice, perhaps due to a job loss or just being dissatisfied at work, and they come up with an idea they just know can be successful. They become entrepreneurs by accident. That is to say, their success or failure happens by accident, not with intention. My name is Mitch Beinhacker. I'm a corporate attorney and a business advisor. You're listening to The Accidental Entrepreneur, my podcast about how to achieve success on purpose, not by accident. Join me along with our monthly guests where we share our knowledge and help you get a hold of your business. And now on to today's episode. Just to remind you, the podcast is produced and brought to you by my legal practice, Beinhacker Law. We provide business and estate services to entrepreneurs, inventors, and other small business owners. Whether you're just getting started or you've been operating for a long time, contact us for all your general legal needs, from contracts to client agreements, from purchasing a new location to onboarding a new partner or key employee. We draft all types of agreements and handle most business transactions. For more information about our products and services, visit beinhackerlaw.com or you can follow our link in the show notes. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed today's interview.
Hey there, I'm Tripp Lanier, professional coach, host of the New Man Podcast, and author of This Book Will Make You Dangerous. Looking forward to this conversation today.
All right, Tripp, so thanks for coming on my podcast. That was my notice to start recording with you. I appreciate taking the time out. This is my first recording for 2021. So we just released episode 101 today. At our 100th episode on Tuesday. So I appreciate coming on first of the year, and I'll get this out in a bunch of months. And let's go back though. I know you're down in North Carolina and you do a lot of coaching and your book and everything, but you told me there was kind of a backstory to that. So maybe we can go back a ways to how you got started coming out of, I guess, school and, you know, the whole backstory. And then we'll get into what you're doing today for people.
Yeah. Well, you know, my backstory is a bit strange. I got into business, even though I had no business training whatsoever. I essentially went to art school, communication school.
Right.
And I was really clear all through school that I never wanted to have a job. I never wanted to do the 9-to-5. I never wanted to kind of be in any kind of corporate ladder or anything like that. It was very clear that I wanted to have a lifestyle business before that was a term.
Right.
So for me in my early 20s, I think I started my company 5 months after I graduated from college. And it was essentially like, how much money do I need to be able to travel, to surf, to make records, to fund the lifestyle that I want to have? And so I went through school with that mentality. What's actually going to serve me and what's actually going to set me up for the, to create this kind of lifestyle business. And so I was able to hit the ground running pretty quickly right out of school. And I built that business. It actually worked. Like, it actually took off. I actually made really good money, learned a lot along the way, fell down a lot, picked myself up. But being in my 20s, it didn't seem like maybe that big of a deal because I was used to being broke anyway, living in college and kind of just kind of scrubbing to get by. So
good time to learn your lessons then, right? Now when you have like three kids and you're, you know, right?
That's exactly.
Do it. Yeah, good.
Exactly. And so, but I also kind of reached that point of, huh, now what? Right. I got to this place where I was like, well, I don't think more money is going to solve this thing for me, and more kind of like the more stuff. This is kind of boring. I've got
a fulfillment thing. Like, what's going to make me more fulfilled? Right.
Yeah. I was definitely getting into more personal growth related stuff at that time. And asking bigger questions, you know, that's what happens whenever you start to take care of your hierarchy of needs and you start to ask more self-actualization things. But I also felt really fragmented that here I was in the daytime talking to my clients. And then, but I was also, I felt secretive, like that my interests were over here and I was into personal growth and these bigger life questions, but I didn't feel like I had many people that I could talk to about that stuff.
Okay.
And then I also was like, what's wrong with me? Why can't I be happy? I've got all of these creature comforts and I've got all the things that, you know, on paper, everybody's wanting to have their own business, to have this, to have that. Right. And gosh, there must be something wrong with me if I'm not happy or not fulfilled.
Right. But that's the irony of life. A lot of people are not fulfilled and they seem to have it all, right? And they're just not happy inside.
That's certainly true, especially for a lot of the people that I coach. They arrive at this place and they put their heads down for so long and they're like, yeah, all I got to do is get to this place and then I'll be set. And then they realize it wasn't everything that it was chalked up to
be. Good for you. You realized it a lot earlier on than other people did.
I did. But it was still really scary. But I remember just saying, well, is this it? Like, is this where the book essentially ends? Like, we get to this chapter and I wrote this out for the next 40 years and it just kind of stayed on this trajectory. And that wasn't acceptable to me. So I, you know, essentially went through this phase of like, what do I really want to do? I got clear that I wasn't ready to kind of die or just stagnate at that level. And so I was like, all right, I'm just going to ease my way into this next phase. Long story short, sold the business, sold the house, you know, moved to Colorado, really got into the personal growth phase, the spiritual growth stuff. And somebody was like, you know, you ask great questions, these conversations you're having, you know, you could get paid to do this. It's called coaching. And I was like, what? You get paid really? To do this?
Who's
yeah.
It was like, back from me.
This is everything to me. I love having these conversations.
Now, Tripp, where were you living before that?
I was living in Tallahassee, Florida.
Oh,
I was living in Tallahassee,
Florida. Home of the Seminoles. My wife's a Seminole.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was there. I had my company there for 12 years, you know, after I was, you know, done with school.
That's
so
the Panhandle, right? That's
up in the Panhandle, right? Yeah. And it's also the state, you know, capital. Right. So there was a lot of work there for politics. And that was where a lot of the work that I was doing was coming out of that. So real soul nourishing work.
Exactly. Especially nowadays. Like, oh man. So you want a fulfilling life. Do not go down that road.
Yeah. I'd kind of fallen into that stuff accidentally. It was never a dream of mine to work in that world. But anyway, so, you know, yeah, I leaned into that, sold that stuff, went into the next phase of my life. And that was even another challenging place because here I was, people are congratulating me for selling a business and being so young. And the reality was I was a nervous wreck. Why was I nervous or what? Because I didn't have an identity. I'd been the guy that had a business. I'd been the guy, I'd been a musician. I'd been able to do all these things. And it was like, please don't ask me what I'm doing with my life now.
Right.
And I find this a lot with people that have sold a business and gotten to a place of this, like,
what do I do next? Yeah.
They're rudderless. It's like, oh, I need a thing. I need a thing to define me in that way.
I'm having conversations like that now with coronavirus, and especially older people. They're like, you know, how long am I going to do this for? And then at the same token, they go, well, what else would I do if I stopped doing this?
Right.
You know, even in your 70s now, that's not old, you know, so it's definitely a crossroads.
There's a lot to leverage as we get older and there's so much that we could give. And I didn't want to be one of those guys who's kind of a one trick pony and, you know, stayed at this level to continue to play the game that I played in my 20s. Unfortunately, a lot of my clients are in their 40s, 50s, still playing the game they played in their 20s. They haven't learned how to leverage all that they've done, all of those experiences, to play a different game. They're right. still just trying to hustle and grind and how much right. can I do and that kind of stuff.
They don't don't even recognize it until you bring it to them, right? And say, hey,
well, I think it's like
knowledge and stuff.
Well, yeah. How many of us have gotten to this level where we can have that conversation? It doesn't get discussed a lot. I think we tend to maybe focus a bit too much on the high performers, the ones that are standing out, instead of, hey, when you reach this phase of your life, there's a whole other game that you can play. The thing that got you there isn't going to get you any further. So it's time to transform that. And it can feel like a death. It can feel like an ego death. And it's many of us just don't want to risk it. So we just stay on the same path.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. All right. So now you're out in Colorado.
Out in Colorado, I'd started coaching in
late 20s now?
No, I was in my 30s. I sold my company in, I guess I was 32 or whatever. And so, I was starting to coach, and I was coaching some startup founders. And one of them one of the companies was doing this stuff called podcasting. I was like, what the heck is podcasting?
Yeah, 15, 20 years?
13, 14 years ago. Yeah.
Podcasting was like, yeah.
Wild West. And he was like, you know, you should have your own show. And I was like, really? Yeah. I mean, okay, well, I'll do it if I can use any language I want and I don't have to worry about, you know, sponsors breathing down my neck, telling me what I can and can't do.
There weren't any directories in those days. Like, you didn't
No, there was iTunes. Yeah. iTunes had big,
they had podcasting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So it was, so anyway, we started to get into that. And then, you know, it's one of those kind of happy accidents where in my brain at that time, I was searching for the perfect plan. I really hadn't found my way. I knew that I wanted to coach, but I also was an entrepreneur at heart. It was like, well, what's the business model?
Right brain, you know, right brain people.
Yeah. So it was like, well, wait a second. But it was also just, I was afraid to be uncomfortable, learn something new. I was afraid to put time and energy and money at risk. And I was afraid to look like a moron. Like, I was like, well, I can't go backwards. I want to do something where I really catapult here. And so I was looking for this plan, and I could always see where step 3, 4, 5 would be a little too dangerous, and that's where everything could sink. And so I was just circling the drain.
Right. But that's a little ironic, right? Because back in your 20s, you were breaking it and, you know, failing and succeeding and up and down and making all learning. That was
now it's now play not to lose.
Now you're game, like, yeah, but you
then
get
it becomes play not to lose.
Conservative as you get older. Yeah.
Yeah. And unfortunately, that's
you're going to. We all know that you always fail when you try something. You don't do it right. You want to do it better. You learn. It's just inevitable. So it's ironic that you got to that point, having been back in your 20s, like boom, 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 right? It's hard. We get older. We get more conservative.
Yeah. And I think this, you know, this is what I talk about, how it's, I want to challenge this idea of success that we have, because the version of success that we have is really just a glorified means to be more comfortable, to be more certain or safe, and to be more accepted. So it doesn't encourage us to take chances. It doesn't encourage, you think that the stronger ones in the group are going to be the ones that are going to be the most anti-fragile, the most resilient when it comes to taking chances. They'll be the ones that can pick themselves up. But as we get older, as we become more successful, guys actually get more fragile.
Of course. They're like, don't take this away from me. I got here. I got this stuff. You know,
I got to have high speed internet. I got to have an air conditioner in my pool house. You know, it's like, I can't go backwards here. Yeah. So it starts to feel dangerous we overestimate the dangers that are out there, and it has us play small, has us play conservative. So yeah, I was doing a version of that for myself, and, you know, podcasting was starting to take off, and, you know, got into this place where I was coaching people, and, you know, we can kind of pause there, but that's where this next trajectory started.
Well, I was curious. So you're out there, coaching is a new business venture for you, right? As an entrepreneur, how do you get started? I mean, you're a young guy, you're in a new place. The world wasn't as connected as it is now. So you didn't just jump on Zoom or LinkedIn, I guess. LinkedIn existed, but it was smaller. How did you get started? How did you get your first coaching clients?
It was all people I knew. And it was like, hey, can I start coaching you?
Right. Yeah.
And it was a bloodbath. I mean, I was terrible at it. You know, I look back and I want to go back and apologize to them. I was really bad.
Yeah. I'm sure they're doing fine.
But the idea is just like, you just start with wherever you are. And I think that's one of the other things that we come up against is I can't start until I'm here. I can't start until I'm at this place, and then everything will be fine. But that's really not the case. And yeah, so it was humbling to start with where I was and to realize I was a noob again, and I was going to screw up and go through the suck, of learning something new. Yeah.
Okay. Good advice, because I'm sure there's people out there wondering, like, well,
oh, they want the shortcut.
How did you get started? Right.
I want the shortcut. I want the sure thing.
But I think people overestimate or underestimate the people that they know. Like, if you're going to get started, that's where you would start, right? With the first 250 or 300 people you know, you go through the list and you go, you know what? I could coach those three guys. And you approach them and say, hey, give me a chance. And maybe you did it at a lower price, or maybe you did them for free for work first. I don't know. But
well, I'll tell you this, the difference between the guys that I've coached a lot of guys, and they're the ones that have done extraordinary things in their life. And they are the ones that are willing to get over themselves. And that point that says, but what will they think of me?
Right.
I can always tell the difference. Like the one that's just like, you know what? They may think I'm a little weird if I ask, versus the one that's like, you know, it's just not worth it. I always need to look good. I'm too fragile if somebody criticizes me.
There's security there, sure.
And I'm like, you're done. You're toast. Yeah. You are fragile and you won't get anywhere.
Right.
And, which is a lot different than, all right, I'm willing to go out here and fall on my face from time to time. I'd rather be that version of myself than play small.
Right. Well, it's those guys that are more secure with themselves and what they're doing, that they're not embarrassed by failure. They know that that's part of the game.
And I think that they still get embarrassed. I think it's not that they're infallible or anything. It's just like, I'm bigger than that. Right. Yeah, I'm bigger than that.
Yeah.
It doesn't, it's not going to take them out the knees. They know how to take a punch. And it's like, all right, I'll get back up, instead of believing this idea, I can't take a punch. And as I say that now, it's like, I don't want to take a punch. Like, it's no fun. I don't look forward to that.
But you don't climb up on the ledge, you're looking over the edge going, you know, maybe this is too much. I got to jump. I mean,
it's really more like a 2 foot step. It's really not, most of the time, it's really just that. Yeah. It's just a 2 foot.
Yeah, even if you broke a leg, it probably wouldn't be that big of a deal. But yeah, I agree. I deal with people all the time. A lot of it is, you know, like not mindset, but kind of like the way, like it's going to be okay. Yeah, you'd be embarrassed. Maybe you do this, it didn't work out, you move up. But I got so many friends that have reinvented themselves. They're successful in this, tried something else, didn't work. But you're right. People, as you get older, it's like skiing, right? If you go to learn how to ski and you're 50, 60 years old, whatever, you're more my age, you're going to be really nervous and probably with the instructor the entire day. And then the kids that are on the bunny slope and they're little, they're up skiing on their own in an hour, you know, whatever, because they got no fear.
You know, I talk to so many guys that are like, you know, I want to know my purpose in life. I want to know, I don't know what my purpose is. And it's this huge, big conversation. Yeah. And I say, you already have a purpose. And chances are it's covering your ass. It's kissing ass. Or it's proving you're not an ass. And I bet if we looked at most of the choices you made through the week, it would fall into those three categories.
That's good.
It's humbling information. It's humbling. It's humbling to look at it that way. But if you want to look at the reason or the purpose behind most of your choices, it's to cover your ass. It's to kiss ass. It's to prove that you're not an ass. If you're willing to see beyond that your life is not about playing defense, then you can see, like, I'll be okay if I take a shot. If somebody thinks I'm a little weird, if I lose a few bucks here or there, whatever, you start to realize, like, that doesn't have to be the only way for me to live.
Right. That doesn't have to define you. That's exactly. Good. That's well, okay. So I got to remember that. That's a tripism. You got to
protecting and pleasing and proving, right?
Right. Yeah. There you go. Absolutely. All right. So take me through it. So you're getting the coaching business going now. You're finding yourself. You're learning. You're really learning how to coach people, how you want to coach people, right? How you can best help them, I guess.
Yeah, I learned some pretty valuable lessons, because I was going through these coaching trainings and I was hating it. Here was this thing that I thought was my calling.
Yeah.
And I'm really ready to lean in and put both feet in. And then I'm starting to realize I hate it. I hate coaching. Why am I hating coaching? Yeah. So I'm in these conversations and all I can think about is, are they going to fire me? What would my coach say here? And, you know, I didn't get this right. And it's just, all I can think about is this, you know, I've just got this constant,
right? Sure.
Getting it right. And so I decided, you know what? I'm quitting. I'm going to quit, but I'm going to do so in a way where I'm willing to be fired. I'm just going to coach the way that I want to coach, let go of this whole ideal and vision of the perfect way to do things, and just coach in the way that I want to coach, not be like, I'm going to try to get fired or try to be mean or anything like that. But I'm just going to do it my way.
If you get fired, you get fired. Right?
And if I get fired, no big deal. Right.
Okay.
So instead of firing my clients, I was like, I'm just going to coach my way. And if they don't like it, they can say, hey, this isn't working. We say, great, no problem.
Perfect, right.
So I gave myself that permission to fail, like to really face plant.
Yeah, that's good.
And suddenly coaching got really fun. My clients were served a lot more. I felt free. I felt bold. And even to this day, I tell my new clients, I say, I'm willing to be fired in any session. I'm not going to hold back with you. I don't want my fear to get in the way of what I think will serve you, even if it means you don't want to work with me anymore. But I'm going to come from that place where I that's important to me. And it's a liberating place. And it comes back to that, you know, am I going to play defense and hold back and avoid, or am I going to really lean in and say, you know what, you can trust me no matter what, because I'm not here covering my ass. And I think that most of us that are feeling drained in the work that we do in the world, we feel drained because we are holding back and we are playing defense. It's one of those things like, oh, I can't, I've got to always get it right. Well, what if you didn't? What if there was a way that you could show up and do your job and to do so from a place of deep care, deep, you know, a real focus on value and love, and know that, hey, at least I'm coming from what I believe is right. And then let it go.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, what would have really happened if I'm assuming everyone didn't fire you. So
it never, nobody it never fired
plays,
me.
Nobody. See, it never plays out like you think it's going to play out. So, but at the end of the day, if they did, so what, right? You would have figured it out, learned some lessons and done something else or continued with coaching with new people or whatever happens, right? The world's sun still rose the next day.
It's one of those things where it's like a child comes into the bedroom in the middle of the night and says, there's a monster in the bed. And it's like, we know there's not a monster in the bed, but all right, let's grab a flashlight and go take a look. And I think a big part of my job as a coach is let's go take a look. Because most of the time when somebody comes to me and says, there's no way I can do X, Y, Z, they haven't really thought about what the monster under the bed is. They haven't looked at it in the eye.
Right.
No, and so most of the time when I say, what are we really afraid of here?
Yeah.
We go take a look and they tell me, it's like, you know, it's really not that big of a deal. I can totally do this.
Yeah.
I say, great.
Right. Well, I think a lot of it's self-awareness. Like you make them self-aware that they're playing defense and they don't even realize it. I think a lot of people, right? They're
right.
Wandering through life, you know?
Well, yeah, most of us are dick around, excuse me, this is a technical term, but we dick around to the degree that our structure, our system allows us to. So if we're in a system that allows us to lie to ourselves, if we surround ourselves with people that are lying to us or that are lying to themselves as well, and we're all just kind of in this world of lies and BS together,
yeah,
then we don't really have to ever face the truth about this scenario that we're in. And so having a coach, having mentors that will give it to you straight, whatever that system is, to interrupt that pattern where you're able to BS yourself or have others BS you because they're covering their butt and want to please you. It's vitally important to have that truth. I'm not talking about somebody being mean to you or trying to be critical of you. It's right. Just let's hold up the mirror.
Right.
Yeah, let's look at what's really here instead of buying into the story that there really is a monster under the bed.
Right. If you want to change, if you don't want to, then they can't work with you, you know.
Go fill your office with sycophants. Yeah.
Right. There you go. Okay. So we were back. And then how did the podcast kind of fit in? You were telling me to what you were trying to do. You weren't happy you were doing. Then you found podcasting. And what happened then? This was, you said, 13 years ago or something?
Yeah. Well, I had an interesting, you know, episode with the podcast that even though I had a background in my own business, this was the first time that, you know, selling coaching, anything like that was new. Like I didn't know how to do it. There really wasn't an XYZ. Here's how you do this kind of thing. And so I had a huge following at that time. I mean, there were tens of thousands of people that were listening to every episode. And I would look at my bank account and I'm watching my savings go down. I'm like, why? What's going on here? And I remember I was having a drink with my dad on Christmas. And he says, you know, I listen to your podcast. I get your emails. And I was like, oh my God. I can't believe my dad's doing this. Right. And he says, he goes, I don't know why anybody would give you any money.
Okay. That's
awesome. And I was like, huh. And of course at first I took that personally and it was like, oh, he did, you know, blah, blah. And I remember laying in bed that night and looking at the ceiling, just wanting to like chew him out. And like, this is you not believing in me and blah, blah, blah. Right, and I said, right. What did he actually say? He says, I don't know why people would give you money. And I was like, that means he doesn't understand the offering. He doesn't understand the value of it. And if he doesn't understand, he's listening. How many other people don't understand what coaching is and why it's valuable? And so I just started telling coaching stories. Here was my client. This was the situation he was in. Here's what we did together. Here's the position he's in now. I just started telling those stories. Within a few weeks, my practice was filled and I was raising my fees. But it was one of those things that I see happening that even with, quote, really smart people, they don't understand how to translate the value of what they do. They hide behind their title, attorney, executive, this and that. But they, on a deep level, they feel anxious because they don't know how they move the needle whenever they're in the room or they're asked to be a part of things. And then they wonder why they're not invited to be part of cool things.
Right.
It's because they don't even understand what they bring to the table, much less why would anybody vouch for you? Why would anybody say, hey, man, we got to bring this guy in on the project. He can really bring XYZ to the table.
Yeah, I'm probably guilty of that a little bit too. I mean,
how so?
Well, I mean, I let's say on the podcast side, right? I just talk to people and tell their stories. I don't know. It's kind of like a personal branding thing, but it is kind of tied into my legal practice just because I didn't know where else to put it, you know?
Okay.
But yeah, certainly, you know, as a lawyer, sometimes I wonder, I mean, I do get invited to the things and I do get asked to speak and I do all that stuff, but sometimes I do wonder like, well, why are they asking me? Like, why are they asking me? You know, yeah. Why me? There's a lot of attorneys around in my area, at least. I'm sure there's plenty by you. Why?
Well, even when somebody's reinventing themselves and they haven't updated the story. So they've spent 10, 20 years, you know, broadcasting this story, Mitchell's this guy, Tripp's this guy. And then it's time to make this shift. And they're like, God, everybody still sees me as this. And they don't really right. want to go out to the world and say, here's who I am now.
Right.
This is the difference that I make.
Like a reinvention.
They don't want to do that. And then, so that's another part of that. What will they think of me? And I'll just talk to my own crowd, whatever that thing is, instead of really, you know, putting a stake in the ground and saying, this is what I do now. This is who I am.
No, I think you gotta, and maybe it does take a certain kind of personality or a certain kind of, well, or your help, right? To coach people to, you know, not be so afraid to get out there and just put yourself out. You know, I mean, look, I'm sure you did this too. First time hearing my voice on a podcast was weird. Like, I'm not a radio personality, whatever. I speak publicly, but, and then you get comfortable with it after a while, you know, as to what you're doing, just like you'd get comfortable with, I guess, you come out of law school and you get a job and your first day in court, you probably wet your pants in front of the judge because you have no idea what you're doing.
Right.
And you become more comfortable with it, just like everything. But I guess if you are a doctor or a lawyer or some professional, you come out of school, that's the track you're on. So you're forced to learn it and get better at it. But you had, you made a real shift when you were like, I don't like this. I'm not happy. A lot of people can't do that.
Yeah, you know, it's developing a sense of what I call inner authority, which is instead of looking to the outside, what should I do? What's a good attorney do? What's a good doctor do? What's a good entrepreneur do? Oh, let me just show me the formula and I'll follow that.
Kind of follow the crowd.
And I'll just, you know, there's nothing unique about it, right? It's a herd mentality. And we need good guys that fit in the middle, right? Now, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But on the other end, I think where if our work feels out of alignment, if our relationships feel out of alignment, if it's, we feel like we're playing a role or we're just kind of, you know, putting on a mask in order to do what we do, then it's time to shift to that internal authority. What do I want? Who do I want to spend my time with? What impact do I want to have in their lives? How do I want to leverage the skills that I have to make a difference in their lives? And that can be really scary, especially if everything kind of revolves around staying comfortable and making a certain amount of money. We won't entertain anything that jeopardizes that stuff. But if we're in that position, I want to remind you that you're going to die and you might die soon. What game do you really want to be playing? Because most of us are waiting. Once I get to this point, then I can finally be the guy who I want to be. Yeah. Once I get here, I'm going to finally be able to kick my feet up and, you know, say F you to the world and do things on my terms. Well, okay. Good luck. Keep waiting. I work with the guys that are like, I'm done waiting. You know, the signs are here. I don't want to live in my car, right?
Right.
I'm going to make a good living doing this thing, but I'm not going to sit around and wait for the green lights or there's permission. Somebody tap me on the shoulder and say, hey, you know what? You get to finally play your game now.
Here's a word from our sponsors. Uplift your marketing and reinforce your brand with a digital business card from Digital Accelerant. Use a text marketing combination to stand out in front of your competition. Digital business cards make you memorable and most of all help you bring in new business through its warm lead generator. Motion graphics, intro, outro, and inspirational videos can be added during setup. Text the word LAW to 21000. That's LAW to 21000 to learn how to get your own digital business card. Suffering from slow internet speed? Worried about hackers? Fetch Pro gets the internet from your smartphone to your Windows and Mac computer without paying for a hotspot. Always get the fastest, most stable, and secure internet access on your computer with Fetch Pro. Follow their affiliate link on our website to learn more and get connected with Fetch. Printify is the online service that simplifies and automates the process of sourcing and creating print-on-demand products branded with your company logo, product, or service. Printify is a better alternative to pre-purchasing and warehousing your merchandise for distribution or sale. Follow their link from our website to learn how to set up your own online store. And be sure to visit our online store and get yourself some podcast merch. Follow the link in the show notes to learn more about all of our sponsors. And now back to our show.
Do you think that most people that, you know, come to that realization or work with you or start working with a coach, they are at a point in their life where they have less to lose than to gain? You know what I mean? Like if they're always successful and everything's going well and they, you know, have a job and they're paying their bills and their family's living well, you know, they have a lot to lose in their mind, at least, right?
I think it's just how they frame that, because after a certain point, you say, I could lose this and I'm still not going to be any happier or unhappy. Like right. It just, they start to realize, okay, I needed to go through that phase. It's not bad or wrong, but I just needed to go through that phase to realize that's not all of who I am. So am I willing to step into this next phase and just recognize that everything in life has these arcs, has these seasons, beginning, middle, end, instead of set it and forget it, which is this idea that we've been told, like, all I got to do is get here and then I'm good. Right, I'm set.
Right. Yeah. Well, we kind of grow up with artificial barriers, right? So points in our life, right? You went through school, you know, you finish this, you finish high school, you go to college, whatever. And it's a finite time. And oh, now I do that. But then when you get out in the real world and you get a job, there is no time. The time is death or your idea of retirement or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe coronavirus made a lot of people think twice when they're like, you know, not working, or they're like, you know, work, and they're like, oh my God, I'm totally miserable.
I've had a lot more people coming to me this year. It's like, I've been waiting for this opportunity. I've been waiting for something to come along and disrupt this pattern. Yeah. And it's a gift. You know, I got this severance package, or I got, you know, my business went south, and he's like, I'm actually relieved. Yeah. You know, I don't have to hold on to it. It's the sign that I've been waiting. It's like permission now.
Yeah.
To go
like
for what I truly want.
Silver lining of this whole thing. It like gave people permission to say, well, I'm changing this, because now they had an excuse, right? They could say, people say, oh, Trip, why did you change what you're doing? Well, now you don't have to be embarrassed about it, because you could say, well, you know what was happening in the world and this and that. So you can make some decisions and not be embarrassed about it. So maybe that's what kind of pushed some people over. I know a lot of people that did that.
Yeah. You know, and for those that are out there, it's kind of like that guy doesn't want to be the jerk that breaks up his marriage or whatever. It's like,
right.
Come
let
on.
Let it be her. And then
let it be. I don't want to be the bad guy. So I'll stay in this thing another 5 years. Meanwhile, our souls continue to rot. So it's like, come on.
Yeah.
Wake up.
Right. So how many people have you coached over the years, would you say?
Hundreds. Yeah. You know, and the reality is that some of them I work with a handful at a time, and some of them I've worked with for 10 years. You know, they don't look at coaching as any kind of a crisis thing. Right. They see the coaching process as something that it's like they had just have me on staff essentially. And I'm the one guy in their company that's not going to try to push them out, or they can talk to me, they can trust me. And I'm going to be the one that tells them, you know, that challenges them to face the truth for themselves. So, you know, there's a lot of people that I've coached, and then there's also been people that have been very consistent and I've worked with over the years. You know, we take a break for a year or two, but then they come back.
Any, you know, without divulging personal information, any like transformative stories or things that you have worked, people you've worked with, you really changed their life and that stick out in your mind?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it's pretty common guys come to me and they sell a business, or they've already sold a business and they think, you know, or maybe it's time to, they've known that it was time to move on from a marriage that was way past its due date. I always think of this one story, this guy that was incredibly successful in the tech industry and very aggressive. Like he called himself a shark, and he was known as a shark, even within his own organizations, people feared him. And I remember one morning sitting in Santa Monica, having coffee with him, looking at the water. And he says, do you think that I can be successful and have a heart too? Because the reality was that he was a huge, huge family person. was big in his church, but there was this thing, this mentality that he had that was like, all right, he was getting in the ring when it came to work. So there's a lot of guys that are like, I have to do this in order to be successful, right? I have to, right? There's that mentality. This is the thing that helps me be successful. And so it's about, all right, well, wait a second. I don't need to be that person anymore. Can I be more of who I truly am? Right. And that's the thing we're all kind of struggling with. I have to play this role in order to be safe or loved or whatever, fill in the blank.
Right.
And it's like, well, could I really be who I am? Could I really bring more of my values and what I stand for in that? And would I still be successful? And doesn't make any sense when we talk about some other guy, but I guarantee if we went 5 minutes into your world or 5 minutes into mine, we'd find that place where it's like, yeah, I could do that, but not that. No way. That's dangerous.
Of course. I'm not doing that.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'd really like to, but there's just no freaking way. Right.
Now, did that guy turn himself around?
Yeah, he's doing great. He's doing fantastic. He's been able to leverage, you know, decades of his experience in the tech industry and understanding product development and service development. And now he's working with huge, huge clients. It's been, I mean, the stories he's telling me about the people he's in the room with right now are fantastic. And one of the stories he told me was that what transformed him is that normally he would go in the room with these people and he put on this big song and dance and be like, you know, like this posturing thing. And he'd almost like through sheer force of will, you know, kind of command them to work with him. And now he's just like, I don't have anything to win or lose. Essentially, it's really coming from this place of, let me see if I can help you. Let me see if I'm really the guy for you.
Right.
And so it feels much lighter and easier for him. And he had this guy's a global superstar tell him, he's like, you're the only person I've sat with that's not trying to get something from me. Yeah. And how refreshing that was. Right. But you know, that goes right in the face of, I can't miss this up. This is my big opportunity. Do everything it takes to get
it.
It's all riding on this, my whole future. What are they going to think of me if I blow it? And then go in there and just be like, I don't know if I can help you or not, but I want to see. Let me see if I can help you out. And if not, no big deal.
Right.
And that's opening doors for him now, instead of this, I'm going to beat the door down with a club.
It's like a boxing match to him, right? You go into, I know people like that. They think everything, and a lot of them, I don't want to deal with. Like, I don't deal with it that way. I deal with it like you deal with it. I don't need to win. I'm not in there to punch people up and to beat them up, but there's some people that I know that's their, what's the word? Their MO, I guess.
The purpose is to win. They can't be and it's really to prove they're not a loser.
Right. And they're not just going to win. They're going to knock you down.
Beat you.
That's winning. Yeah. And that's, to me, that's, and they're also, I know people that are like, this is a little bit of we're on the lighter side, but they're like what I call one uppers. You know what I mean? Like, you could tell them a story. They'll be like, oh yeah, Trip. Well, I did this and oh yeah. And just no matter what you tell them, and you're just sharing ideas, there's always something else. And even if they don't have a story, they'll be like, you know, my cousin's girlfriend, she went to this and she did this. You thought that was hard. And then after a while, you're just like, I don't want to share any stories with them because I'm just going
to. It's not a relationship. It's a competition.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's a competition. You're just like, and you walk away. Like, sometimes you deal with people, you walk away. You're so exhausted from dealing with them that you're just like, you don't want to, you know, deal with them, especially if you enjoy your life. It's like they suck your energy out of. I can't imagine with some of the coaching you do, especially in the earlier days when you start to work with people. I guess they're there though voluntarily, so they're looking to change. They're looking to transform. It wasn't like
curious,
dragged them into your office and say, "Give me a chance." You know, you don't need to do that, and who wants to? But there's plenty of people out there, I'm sure, that would just be, you'd be like, "I can't work with this person."
No, and I filter for guys because there's guys that can write the big check and we can work. But if they're not going to do the work or they just want to show up every week and tell me why everybody else was wrong and they were right and, you know, blah, blah, blah. That's not coaching. I'm not here to be your cheerleader.
Yeah, then it's more painful for you than it is for them. And who wants to do that?
Yeah. And it's not actually helping them.
No. And it's certainly not helping you.
Yeah.
So you also have a book, which I love the name of the book. Is that your only book? You've written other books?
I've had other eBooks and stuff that are associated with the, you know, the kind of offers to get into my world, but this is the first published book. Yeah.
Okay. So tell me about it. Cause this book will make you dangerous. I think that's how we connected. Somebody sent me the book or your publicist. I know somebody, and there was a video about it, one of your videos and you know, your powerhouse. So tell me about the book and
yeah.
you know, where it came from. And
well, this book Will Make You Dangerous was essentially like, what's the book I wish I could have read 20 something years ago when I was in that place of now what?
It's good.
Right. There's got to be more than going through life just trying to make more money and cover my ass and prove that I'm not an ass and that whole exhausting game that we've just been talking about. And so what is that? What is beyond that? And, you know, back then, 20 something years ago, if you think about what personal growth was, it was women's stuff. I mean, Oprah was the queen of all that domain. There was no book out there for guys.
Right.
And even though the book is helpful for anybody, I wrote it specifically for guys because it's fun. It's also got a ton of depth, but it's also very practical. I don't want to just hear ideas. I really push the reader and I tell them right up front. I say, you got to try this stuff. You can't just read this stuff and roll your eyes. This is what I've worked. You know, this is the stuff that I do with my clients. If it hasn't impacted somebody's life, then it's not in this book. And so I tell anecdotes. I tell funny stories. It's laugh out loud funny, but it's also like, wow, that will change my life. If I were to really implement that, that would change my life.
It's available on Amazon.
It's available on Amazon. Yep. Dangerous Bookstore has all, you know, Kindle, audiobook, and paperback.
All right. So we'll put the links in the show notes and some links on the website. I'm glad to hear that it's audible because I read so many contracts and dealing with so many transactions. I don't read books anymore. I want to listen to them when I'm like out of the office. And so that's good because a lot of them are not. A lot of the authors I bring on, they don't have Audible yet. So
yeah.
Yeah. So is it read by you?
It is. Okay. I read it myself.
All right.
I even cracked myself up a few times in there. I was like, oh.
Well, if I'm listening to a book, I want the author to be the one that reads the book. You know, if I listen to Obama's book, I want to hear him.
Sure. Want to hear the guy.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It's his words.
Yeah. So can you share some things from the book?
Sure. You know, we've touched on some of the main themes here, which is, all right, when I talk to guys and they think they need to find their purpose in life, and I point out, okay, your purpose isn't, you know, go solve, you know, puppy cancer or whatever. It's not necessarily going to be this big egoic dream. It's to really recognize that you're probably going through life just trying to avoid discomfort, just trying to avoid risk, just trying to avoid any kind of criticism or looking bad. That is what passes for what most folks are doing to be, quote, successful.
Yeah.
And I talk about how the success that most of us are chasing isn't making us stronger, right? It has us weak in our relationships, weak in our bodies. We don't take care of ourselves. We are essentially throwing away all the things that really matter, our health, our relationships, in order to chase after this idea that one day we're going to be finally done and we can reach that finish line and we'll finally be comfortable and safe and accepted once and for all. And I said, I'm sick of it. And it's one of the reasons why I throw most books in the trash. I get a ton of books sent to me as a podcast host, and most of them go right in the trash because they're essentially trying to help us play this game that we'll never win. Oh, you know what you need? You just need more of this. Oh, you know what you need? You just need more of that. Here's my 3-step plan. And I say, bullshit.
It's like
there is no finish line. Yeah. They're promising this false hope. You just got to get to this place and you'll be done.
I got a pile of them over on the bookshelf over there.
Yeah.
I understand their intention is, you know, whatever, but it's kind of misses the,
I totally get it. I think everybody's well-meaning, but they're all kind of stuck in that. They believe it too. Boy, if we could just get to this place, then it really is there. And I've recognized through enough personal growth, spiritual growth, you know, having mentors along the way, it's just like the real hard truth is that it never ends. So how do we then adjust our mindset so that we can be truly strong, start to cut the BS that doesn't drain us, the stuff that we tell ourselves, I have to deprive myself in order to, and we start to align our lives with what we truly want today. And I talk about how we can be bold, how we can be playful, how we can get over ourselves and start to enjoy that life now instead of that one day, that BS idea of this finish line.
When am I going to deserve it? When is it not going to be so hard? When is it all going to come easy?
When am I enough?
When is it right? Exactly. So I know a lot of people in sales, they're like, you know, I got to be 55, 60. It should all come to me now. I've been putting in my time. I don't have to prospect anymore. And then they realize when they got there that that's not true.
Or it wasn't enough. It's like,
or it wasn't enough, right?
I had a buddy of mine who was building a business and should have known better, but it was like every year we'd hang out and talk. And he's like, I mean, it's killing me right now. I'm doing 20-hour days, but you know, next year it's, you know, I'll be able to sell it and blah, blah. He still has, it's been 12 years now.
Yeah.
And he's essentially dying right now. His body is just giving up on it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's killing him.
Just worked his way into the ground. I guess but you saw it coming.
Totally. Totally. I mean, you can hear it. Like we usually hear it in somebody else's voice, or hopefully that's not the chorus that we're in, right? Like this herd that we're in is this I call them Labradors, right? It's like all they can do is chase the ball, right? It's just like, just throw the ball, just throw the ball. But they have no kind of inner power, any kind of inner vision, a sense of self-leadership other than throw the ball so I can run after it.
Right. Well, I mean, look, it's not for everybody. Some people don't have that drive or, you know, ability to see it or meet you or, you know, whatever. But from a selfish standpoint, though, we got to drive society, right? So it's going to take all kinds to.
Yeah, I agree. It's not a criticism, but it is a call. Reality. I mean, I am hitting. It's like there is another way. If this part of you feels alone, and I felt that way, where it's like, gosh, I guess I should go along with this. This is how we're supposed to act. But if there's a part, it's like, this isn't for me. And you know, deep down, there's that little voice. It's just like, stop it. There's got to be another way. Here's the invitation to have that conversation.
Right. If the book resonates with you. Well, there's no point in our life where somebody sits you down. Well, maybe this is like outliers, right? Some intervening thing happens where you do get to the point where you go, this isn't enough. Why am I not happy? And this and that. But some people don't. And then they're not sat down and said, hey, you can make a choice in life. It doesn't have to be follow the path, the same path all the time, you know?
And then we don't have to buy into the voice because usually it's accompanied by a voice. If I don't do this, then the world will come crashing down.
Right.
That's the point that I want to make here is that most of us have that doomsday, you know, button right next to it, which is if I don't maintain this path, if I don't maintain this identity, if I don't maintain this whole charade, then everything that I care about is going to fall apart. And I talk about that in the book, which is like, that's just total crap.
Of course it is. Well, it's usually the people that make the changes, the ones that have less to lose from the change because it's so bad on the other side of the fence that they just got to climb over.
But even people that use that as an excuse that one day when I have less to lose, then I'll do it. Like it's just right, recognizing well, the stories we tell ourselves.
Right. Well, look at the whole, in Hollywood and the Me Too movement and everything, right? All these women were taken advantage of. They didn't think they could speak out because they thought it would ruin their careers or whatever. Finally, there was somebody who had less to lose in her mind than she had to gain. And then everyone was like, oh, that's not so scary, you know? I'm telling the world, you know, what are they going to do to me now? You know, type of thing.
So a great question is, do I really stand to lose that much? Like, is it really true that I would lose anything first? And number two, is it really true that I couldn't jump back from it?
Those are good questions to ask. And you know what? Your first question is, it's 9 times out of 10. It's just something in your mind, right? It's not really, you're not really going to lose everything. That doesn't really happen. If you're going to go and I don't know, you want to do stand-up comedy, let's say, because that's always a frightening thing to people. And you go for an open, if you bomb, people are going to throw knives and tomatoes at you. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Not yet.
Right. Because it's all on Zoom.
You'd be lucky to get that because that would blow you. Like you would be on YouTube and people like, wow, they actually threw, this guy was so bad. They threw knives at him. We got to book him. This guy's amazing.
Of course. It would be totally the opposite. You're probably right. But that's the thing, right? People in their mind, they create these things in their mind that aren't real.
Right.
They're not real.
Here's a story. I actually talked to a guy one time, and I don't say this to make fun of him. I say this because we all have a version of this. Okay. So I want to be really clear.
Yeah.
He was stalling on writing his book and telling me the story he wanted to write. But why aren't you writing the book? We finally get to this thing. I'm afraid that if I write this book, then it will be a huge bestseller. I will be out in front of the world and then people will criticize me.
That's interesting. Because that does happen.
That has happened
people
to some people.
Know you and people are going to have things to say about you.
I was like, you know, what's more likely is that no one will ever even know you published the book.
Right, of course.
Most people that publish a book never sell more than 100 copies. No. So it's like, let's get with reality here. Let's focus on the service you want to bring to the world, the message you want to bring to the world. Let's stay focused on that. Let's stay connected with that. And then, you know, watch the idea that somehow overnight you would be, thrown out into the spotlight and be exposed and all this kind of stuff. But just airing it out as he was saying it, he could just be like, that is so ridiculous. But nonetheless, that's what was driving him and keeping him from sitting in front of the computer and doing his work.
Think things that are real in their mind. And when you really make them think about it, they do say, oh, you're right. That's totally ridiculous. It's funny you say that story because I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago about he wanted to create his own podcast. That's why he contacted me. Talk about it. I don't know why I'm a podcast expert. They should talk to you. But and we were talking about it. And he's like, you know, I think I'm like, it's got to be too perfect. I'm nervous. I put it out there. I go, you don't have to worry about that. And he's like, why? because nobody is listening. So it's going to be a while before anybody hears what you're putting out there. I know you think there's what, are we over a million podcasts now? We're like 1.2 million, right? Whatever. So
good luck.
Yeah, exactly. So I said, maybe some of your friends, they'll have some criticism about you. Well, oh, I like this. I didn't like that. But this is not going to happen.
Nobody's going
to
listen.
He started to laugh. And he goes, you know what? You're right. And I said, so you can experiment. First 10, 20 episodes, nobody. Especially if you don't promote it. You don't create an email list. You just put it out there.
Right.
So I have some episodes that I've deleted. They're terrible, you know.
Sure. But so think about it. Like, what if we go through life and we realize that we get to our deathbed, and we realized we played it safe and we avoided the things we really wanted to do in our lives. Like the things that I'm here to give, I'm here to share.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that feel that way.
And that was the excuse.
Yeah.
There were versions of these excuses that seem outlandish to us as we talked right now. But I guarantee you that that is what's blocking 99% of us, is some crazy, crazy scenario that would be 100 steps down the road instead of just the very next step, which is record the damn thing and press publish.
Right. Exactly. And yeah, exactly. Because that's what we do to ourselves, though, as human beings. I mean, I think if somebody sits down with you and you say that to them, okay, let me take you down the road. You know, you're one of the ghosts of Christmas past, whatever, of Christmas future. Let's go down the road. You're on your deathbed. You didn't try the things, because we always regret the things that we didn't try. Right? That we didn't do. Maybe it would have worked. I should have bought that lotto ticket because maybe I would have won, you know, that type of thing. I think that when you take somebody in their mind to that place, right? Then they start to think differently. Now they're more afraid that they're going to be in that place down the road. And then maybe they do change, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah. I guess you just do it. You can only do it one person at a time. And
we just keep it. It's a slow process. Most people, I mean, I talk about, there was one story in the book. This guy was like, you know, I really want to be, you know, start this real estate investment company and blah, blah, blah. But I just can't. I don't have, why not? Well, I got to have X in the bank to take care of my kids and wife and all this stuff. I said, great. So let's imagine that you had all of that. Let's imagine that it was here today. What's the first thing you do? And he started rattling off all this mundane like stuff. There was nothing in there about jumping off of some cliff or whatever. I was like, great, just go do that.
Right.
Let's just get started.
Right.
You're nowhere near needing X in the bank to do that stuff. And we can get started and get into the process. And it was mind blowing for him. But what he saw was that this was how believing this doom and gloom story or whatever, this big fantasy that what he was doing was a big giant leap, actually kept him comfortable. He didn't have to. He was off the hook.
Yeah.
You didn't have to be vulnerable. And that's what most of us, when we buy into this story, I can't, and I can't because it's, we like that story because we're off the hook.
We don't want to be vulnerable. Yeah.
I don't have to have that conversation with my wife. I don't have to have this conversation with my, you know, partner. I don't have to do X, Y, Z. I get to stay right where I am. And that's, folks, a business. That's a victim mindset. It's a powerless place to be. And so is that how we really want to go through life?
You know, it's also a little dangerous if it's funny because, and people don't realize this, sometimes what you're comfortable with is really, that's all in your mind too, because you can get laid off, company can go out of business, coronavirus hits and we're home and you're furloughed with this and that.
Right.
And then you realize, oh, this isn't so bad. Like I can deal with this. And that's another problem. And then people, it doesn't happen by choice. It happens by, they're forced to do it. And they're not ready. And then it's even worse because it did happen. Now they got this story like, you see, look what happened, you know, this and that. And they're afraid. And sometimes it's better to, right, do it by choice. Leave your job by choice. Don't wait till you're fired. You know?
Right. Do it on your terms.
Yeah. Now you, when you coach, I assume you coach selectively. Are there only a certain amount of people that you're taking on at any one particular time? And you only have a certain bandwidth that you want to.
Correct.
Right. So how many guys you coach at any different given time?
It's typically under 10. It's between 5 and 10, 10 people that I work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And these are people all around the world. We talk several times a month. And the way that I coach, nobody's looking at the clock. If all we need to discuss that day is 20 minutes, then that's great. And then if you need more time, we just schedule more time for whatever's happening. So my clients, you know that I'm in their corner for the contract time that we have. And that's it. Like we just get to work and we stay on it.
Right. Well, did you used to travel? for customers?
I didn't have to travel. It was part of the way that I designed the business was that we could live anywhere. But I didn't have to go get on a plane in order to work with people. You know, where we live here at the beach, clients like to come here and we do intensives. I say me and my wife will lead stuff together. So they'll rent a house out on the beach and we'll spend like a long weekend.
Boot camp.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Yeah. And you know, for me, it's like, okay, let's talk about the next quarter. Let's talk about the next 6 months. What do we want to create? And so, hey, we're walking around on the beach. We're going to the restaurant, having sushi. And it's a much more relaxed, creative place instead of, okay, time starts now, go. And we can just be in that flow. Go surf. All right, let's go out in the water. And then suddenly an idea comes and it's like, great, let's start talking about ways we can implement that.
And I saw on your website, you just mentioned your wife is a coach also, right?
Right. Yeah. She's got a background in psychotherapy, relationship, counseling, that kind of work. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, coaching is kind of therapy to a certain extent, right?
It can be. You know, I think that's a good thing to touch on because—
I mean, it's therapeutic.
It can be. You know, if you think about what therapy could be more in the realm of healing. So if I'm an athlete and I get injured and the injury is keeping me from performing at my best, then let's go rehabilitate this knee. Let's get this knee taken care of. Right. And so that can happen, whether it's mental, emotional things are getting in the way. And that's the context for doing that. That's why I've had therapy in my life is to, all right, I got to get this thought, this pattern out of my system so that I can perform well and get back to it. And then as a coach, it's like, okay, where are we going? What's a creative conversation? Where are we headed? What would be ideal for you over the next 6 months, year, 2 years? And then, okay, great. You know, let's get out of the way of we're going to look at those limiting beliefs, get them out of the way. What wants to be created when you get that stuff out of the way? And then, you know, a week later, when you believe that crap again, we have, you know, no, we're staying in here. What are you executing? Right. And like, okay, what are you going to do this week? And a lot of times, you know, it's like, well, I got to have this conversation. I said, great, put me on mute and have that conversation right now. Call that person right now and have that conversation. So there's no procrastination. It's just go in. That thing that we're scared to do, we're going to do it right now. And so that's a bit of the difference there between say something in the healing or therapeutic realm and this coaching realm.
Okay. And what kind of things have you changed with the way the world's been changing? Well, you do coaching on Zoom. You probably did it before.
Hasn't right? changed a whole lot.
That hasn't changed much. You can't do in-person boot camps, right? That's about it.
But even then, you know, it's like, there's ways around that. If somebody wanted to come and,
right, sure,
and be here, there's ways around that.
Yeah, well, you guys, stuff, North yeah. Carolina, you're more open than we are up here.
You know, I think it's starting to really heat up here. Yeah.
Heat up in a bad way.
Correct.
Yeah. Things are spiking, but yeah, I guess you're right. You're equipped. It's funny. There's some businesses that are just like, well, I always did business this way. I don't need to be in front of people. And then there's other businesses that are, I would say we would probably move 15 years in terms of how we're doing business and the way we're interacting with people in months.
Oh, okay.
You know, because it would have taken 10 or 15 years to, I mean, look, I don't know about by you, but every restaurant near me, I'm not in New York City, besides pizza and Chinese, nobody delivers.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody had an app. Unless, you know, if it's a chain, like, you know, Panera, they had an app, whatever. But everybody has an app now. You order online. It's all contactless. They take, you know, and DoorDash and all these different things. You can get anything delivered now anywhere. Right. And it's just different.
Right.
You know, my wife's getting a little stir crazy because she knows we can't go out to restaurants now. And I mean, they're still kind of open. It's cold and things are spiking and
they're
getting sick and it's just not worth it.
Yeah. We'll get through this. We'll get through this. It's temporary.
Yeah, definitely temporary. It's definitely affected my business badly because I deal with small business owners.
Right.
You know, most of my guys are local small business owners. As an attorney, I'm like landlocked. It's like the only profession you're like locked within your state. So it's not like I'm doing very much business with people around the country. I do some advanced tax planning, that kind of federal tax planning, but they're not doing that either. So businesses for 4 months were closed. I had no business. I just did networking and podcast. That's how I got so ahead with the podcasting. I just started meeting guests, people online and everything like that. And now, you know, people are now getting back to business. They're getting ready for 2021. Hey, maybe we should readjust the business. My partner's not going to work as much anymore. I want to redo that type of stuff. I need to redo my estate plan because my friend died of coronavirus or my uncle was sick and I'm worried about it, that type of stuff. But
Definitely
been a challenge for a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, good luck with that, man. Good luck.
I appreciate it. Okay. So I appreciate you spending time with me. We'll put some links in the show notes to the book And yeah, any last words? Any last things you want to say? I got other questions for you off the mic, but.
No, I appreciate that. I appreciate you inviting me on the show. And again, you know, it's easy to come on here and talk with this bravado, but you know, I want to just say, I wrote this book for me. I've been in this world for decades now, and I still need to be reminded of this. I still need to, you know, I catch myself making excuses and believing my own fears and all of that kind of stuff. That's why I hire a coach. So I just want to say, look, I'm in the same boat with you. We're all in this shoulder to shoulder. I'm not going to feign that I'm somebody on stage and I figured it all out and here's the promised land. It's right. Like, no, this book was for me just as much as it is for anybody else that resonates with it.
All right. Well, you can't coach everybody because you don't want to. So everybody should get the book and they can learn some things from your decades of experience. I thank you for coming on and sharing and helping me promote my podcast. And we'll have to check in some point and see how things are going.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tripp.
If you like the podcast, please tell others about us. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts, on Amazon Music, and many of the other podcast directories. If you like what you hear, please leave us a 5-star review and feel free to share our episodes on social media. If you have any questions or comments, ideas for the show, or you'd even like to appear as a guest, reach out to us by email at info@beinhackerlaw.com. The Accidental Entrepreneur is hosted and produced by me, Mitch Beinhacker. If you'd like more information about my legal services, you can find me on social media or visit my website at beinhackerlaw.com. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe to our feed to be notified of all future episodes.